All right, you know what that music means? That means it's showtime, E.
It's showtime.
It's showtime. This is show number 273 for Sunday, March 30th, 2008. My name is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. I'm here with E, who is, he does operations stuff.
The remote control for your TV is busted.
You know how you gotta aim it to the right.
I'm trying to turn the volume down so it doesn't go off while we're recording.
And right.
Nothing's happening.
It's all set. So we usually have a TV on in the background or a monitor. Do they call them monitors now?
It's got speakers, so it's a TV. Okay. It's only a monitor if there's no speaker.
So we've got the TV on in the background, so we always sign on to live, and I'm using messages and so forth. So hey, E, I'm back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you, man. It was a hell of a great time, and we're going to talk about that later on the show.
Can you say that?
I just did.
Okay.
I just did. And as we're actually recording this, it's snowing and raining outside. So great weather we're having in Seattle.
Icon has freak snowstorms.
Anyway, first of all, on behalf of everyone that's listening to my voice and everyone that reads the blog, I want to thank you for being the guest poster on the blog.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You were riling up everyone and posting and having fun.
I think they enjoyed just a slightly different style. I wasn't quite Major Nelson-ish.
No, I realized after reading your style, because I was reading your style when I was down in the islands, because I was checking in to see what was going on.
So you were not completely off the grid.
Well, here's the funny story. I was kind of off the grid. Because we get to the, you remember this? Because we got to the, where the heck were we, E?
Puerto Rico?
I think it was in Puerto Rico.
You texted me from Puerto Rico.
Right, I texted you from Puerto Rico, but I actually texted you from the boat. I was on the Celebrity Millennium, which is a beautiful vessel, and they have GSM repeaters for cell phones on board when you're at sea.
Nice.
So you turn your phone on, and it says cellular at sea is the carrier. And, of course, at that point, you can hear the sucking of your money out of your bank account.
$400 a minute.
$7.95 a minute for voice. $7.95. Wow. So I texted you, because I'm sure, I texted you to say, hey, I'm in the middle of the ocean anyway. So you and I are going back and forth on that. And then it was like three texts, and then I was done, because
they were probably like a buck each.
Yeah, well, not that, because I was on vacation. But yeah, I did check in with you, and you seemed to get everybody riled up, and you were posting. I realized, and I've said this before, the blog is so different now than it used to be, and I need to get back to what it was, which is just me having fun talking about the cool stuff that I do during the day, or that we work on here at the team, and because Marketplace consumes so much of the blog, because there's so much stuff on Marketplace.
Yeah, and I have a much better appreciation now for how long it takes you to put the Marketplace stuff together.
Right.
Because I wasn't going to go to the lengths that you normally do.
Right.
So I was just trying to hit the high points, and it still was a big effort.
Yeah, because there's so much stuff flowing through Marketplace, it's a little crazy. But thank you for filling in. We'll talk about that later. Got two interviews this week, two really good interviews, because they're always good interviews.
But these ones are really good.
I have 402 Robert Bowling from Infinity Ward, who is the community manager over at Infinity Ward and COD4. He's going to talk about the new maps that are coming out this coming week.
April 3rd?
Yep, which is this coming week. And then I also have a good friend of the show, Don Quixote, is his gamer tag, and he is his name is Don McGowan, and he's a lawyer. Not only is he a lawyer, he's a Microsoft lawyer. Not only is he a Microsoft lawyer, but he's the games division, one of the game division lawyers.
He's kind of a misfit because he's a cool lawyer.
Yeah.
We like him.
Yeah, he's not too slimy.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, no, we actually really like Don. So Don's going to come by and talk about the gaming rules and some other cool stuff that he's talked about.
Did you just see the wind gust?
Yes.
It like picked up the snow and moved it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I gotta close
it's
these.
It's spring, right?
Yes, it is. Some places it's spring, unless you're listening to this from down under, then it's fall.
No, that's a good point.
Unless you're under the equator, it's fall. So while I was gone, I'm assuming that you finished COD4.
I didn't play it even once while you were gone.
What do you mean? I don't understand. I don't understand.
I did. So the very first post I did was actually like, "What are your gaming goals for the week?"
Right,
and I listed out, "Here are the things I want to get done this week."
Did you get to any
of
them?
It's more than a week since then, and I've done precisely none of them. Combination of being really busy at work, having some stuff going on with some friends, and it just, yeah, I didn't get to N+. I didn't get to Call of Duty 4. I didn't get to Rainbow Six Vegas 2. The only things I've played in the last week are Halo 3 and Rock Band.
Yeah, and I'm actually looking at what you've played. It's Bomberman, what? Rock Band, Chessmaster Live.
Bomberman was actually...
Whoa. Chessmaster Live? What?
Hey, I used to play chess. But no, actually, Bomberman, that was this morning in my office. I was checking something. That wasn't play. But Halo and Rock Band are the only things I've actually played in the last week.
Chessmaster? You said you used to play chess, but not good enough because I see no gamer score.
Well, I didn't finish the game. Okay. I went in, I checked it out. I was like, oh, cool, and... But
that it's actually kind of cool because you can do that mailing thing back and
play
forth.
Play by mail.
Play by mail, which I think is kind
of
cool.
I think I made two moves. I checked out the different views of the board, and then I don't remember what happened.
Since you and I chatted, we recorded the show, and then I put the show up on Saturday right before I left because normally I put it up on Sunday. But that Friday night, we got to play Frontlines.
Oh,
with Jesse.
Right. That
so
was fun.
I know it feels like forever ago, but it's just a couple weeks ago. It's actually 2 weeks ago. We had a great time, didn't we?
We had a great time, and it was funny, some of the community members we ran into in the game.
Oh, yeah.
One of them was one of the guys who had won one of the, I think, Heroes-themed 360s.
Oh.
Wasn't that what it was?
I believe so, yeah.
So he was in the game, which was pretty cool. Ran into a couple other people who... I don't remember now, but like we'd met them at PAX or somewhere.
A lot of readers from the blog and the forums.
Yeah, we just had a good time. And there was one guy who sent Trixie an email, and I don't have his gamer tag handy, but he apparently killed a helicopter while you were flying and I was in it, and he said that was quite the exciting moment.
Yeah, because I was flying the helicopter quite a bit in that, and we were actually having a great time because it was me and you and Jesse and a few other, one of Jesse's, you know, highfalutin Hollywood producer friends or some star. Who knows who that person was, but he's a great guy.
Yeah. But what I got really good at eventually is just if I was in the chopper with you, the instant I heard missile lock on, I was out.
Exactly.
I'm jumping.
Hear, beep, beep, beep. And all of a sudden I look down and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, gone. I'm like, I'm okay, E. I got it under control.
Yeah.
And usually I did, but
I don't care.
Speaking of helicopters, I'm going to tell the story. I don't think I told you the story.
Okay.
One of the most interesting things that happened on my cruise, and you're trying to figure out how are we going to get a cruise in a helicopter?
They had to rescue someone?
Yes. There was a medevac.
Oh, seriously?
There was a medevac in the middle of the Caribbean off our cruise ship one night. The Coast Guard came over, and I don't know what the person was. They had to be taken off the ship. I think they had a heart problem. And so they come over, the PA, the captain comes on and tells us that they're going to have that we're going to be a little bit late into the port the following morning. We're at sea because they have to do, there's a medical emergency and they're being medevaced off the ship. And I'm like, really? So I grab my mother. My mother's been on the show before. I
said, right.
My mother's a nurse. She used to be a nurse.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, let's go, Mom. I know where to go. We can walk. Cause I knew where the helipad was. The helipad's on the front of the ship.
Okay.
So I find us this place way at the top front of the ship, you know, public area that we can go to. And sure enough, we're looking right down into the helipad.
Just to check out what's
going
on.
Just to see what's going on. And I always have had respect for people in the service, and the Coast Guard is a service. The helicopter pilot was unbelievable. He came in and thank you. People are banging on my window right now, but that's okay. So the helicopter comes in, and they had to drop somebody off. I can't describe it to you, E, because I'm going to do it with my hands.
You really can't, because I have no idea what you're trying to tell me.
The helicopter comes in. They can't land. The seas are too rough.
Oh, it's the ship is tossing too much?
All over the
place. Gotcha.
So he gets above. They deploy somebody through a line down to the fast rope, as they say in Rainbow Six.
Yep.
Takes the fast rope down, and then he dusts off, and he's sitting off the port bow probably about 300 meters.
Did he flash and clear the bow of the boat?
It's exactly what he did. So one guy comes down, and it was interesting. When they were doing this, because I knew that they weren't going to land, the boat, in the front of the boat, has two foam nozzles.
For putting out fires.
Just in case. And they were completely staffed. They had the guys with the headgear on, or the girls. I don't know what they were. And so they were ready. I mean, it was really scary up there. And so they drop this guy down. He comes down. Then he comes back, and they drop the basket down.
Which can't be fun going up in the basket.
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
And then they so they finally go inside, and I'm like, my mom and I have a great spot. And by then, people are filling up. I said, Mom, I'm going down to get my camera. I'll be right back. Because I have that
you
new
brought it the first
I have
time.
That new Rebel XTI.
Right.
With the long lens.
Oh, nice.
And they had made the announcement when we were going to be late that they said, please, no flash photography for obvious reasons. It's sure. pitch black at night. We don't want to blind the pilot right. or anybody.
Have the helicopter come crashing right. into
just,
the boat.
Just badness would be amount. So we, so I go down and get my, I get the Rebel XTI. Now I must tell you, one of the goals I wanted to do over the vacation was I wanted to learn photography or at least get a better understanding of
Figure out how to use yeah. your new shiny toy.
This was the worst possible conditions. Let me just outline them. At night, on the deck of a pitching ship, it wasn't raining. It was clear, but it was cold. There's so much going on. I'm shooting through dirty glass.
It sounds very Deadliest Catch.
It was unbelievable. So anyway, so I go down and come back, and I get lined up, and I shut the flash off so that nothing happens, and I got to show you the photos. I'll show you the photos in the break. But I took all the photos, and they finally come out with the first. They come out with a person who they had. I think it was this guy's spouse. They brought her up in a basket.
Okay.
So that happens, and then they go off, and they come back, and they pull this guy up in the basket. This guy had to be completely sedated because the boat's going, the helicopter's going. They pick the basket up, and it starts swinging around in a circle, geez. And they're pulling it up as quick as possible. So it was a safe evac, but it was, and I had a new respect for, especially these helipilots, because he's hovering over the front of the ship. It's not like you look out the side. I mean, maybe he can a little bit, but he's got to listen to the guy on the bottom, on the ground. So it was really unbelievable. That
added a little excitement to the trip.
Yeah. So I'll show you those photos. And I was going to put the photos up on Flickr, but I didn't want to be ghoulish.
That's a good call, I think.
All right. So anyway, we're playing, where were we talking? Oh, so we're talking Frontlines. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Frontlines.
So we had a great time playing Frontlines with the community, and I'm going to play some more Frontlines.
We need to make that a more regular thing, not just like the game with Fame and hanging yeah. out with Jesse, who we know, but just you and me getting out there and playing.
What should be our next game?
Rainbow, I think.
Should it be Rainbow? Yeah. I think you're right. I think it should be Rainbow.
We've got. We should do something for Call of Duty and Halo with the new maps
and Battlefield when it comes out.
Oh, that's right.
You know, so Battlefield, the beta started this week. I have about 100 codes. I have 100 codes to give away. I've been giving away 10 a day. What part of send me an email do people not understand? They're sending me messages over live.
Oh, totally.
Send me an email, people. Anyway, so Battlefield 2. If you want a Battlefield 2 code, I've got a few more to give away. Check out the blog. You can email me, major@xbox.com, with a very specific subject header. Because I have a rule set up.
Check out the blog first before you send the mail.
Yeah, exactly. So, we definitely need to play more of. You want to do Rock Band with somebody? You want to take on someone's Rock Band?
The only thing is Rock Band. It's four people, so we can't really get a lot of people in there.
It doesn't, as you engineers say, scale well.
There you go. Very nice. You're picking up the lingo.
All right, we're going to stop down right now. We're going to roll the interviews I have with Robert Bowling 402 from Infinity Ward and our good friend of the show, Don McGowan. Joining me on the line from sunny Los Angeles, my good friend Robert Bowling, Gamertag 402. Robert, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How's it going over there, Larry?
It's doing great, man. So you're just in case people don't know, you're the community manager for COD4 and for That's Infinity right. Ward, and you guys have had like the number one game on live for three months now. It's been pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, I love every time you update your list on MajorDustin.com. I can't wait to log on there and see how we're doing. Who's coming up on the ranks?
Yeah, it's the battle royale, because it's always it's COD versus Halo, and you guys have been on top for quite some time. So congratulations! But
thank you.
I wanted to get you on the line because you've got some great news. You announced last week, or actually about a week and a half ago, that you've got some maps coming out. And I wanted to get you on the line here and have you just kind of walk us through what the maps are, when they're coming out, and all those details, because I'm sure there's maybe, one or two people that aren't aware that the maps are coming out.
Yeah, the big news is we have the first map pack for Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare coming up. It's coming out April 3rd on Xbox Live. It's going to be exclusive on the Xbox for the first 21 days, which is kind of a big deal for Xbox players. So, I mean, the map pack is called Variety Map Pack. It's bringing four new maps to the multiplayer.
What can you walk us through each individual map and kind of the best modes to use the maps on?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what players are can expect? We're adding a lot of variety to the game. We wanted to branch out from the maps you have been playing. So we didn't want any more desert towns. We didn't want any more Russian villages. But we also wanted to listen to community feedback and try to incorporate that. So within the four maps that you're going to be getting Broadcast, and that is one of the one of the ones that is taken from the single player, and that's purely because of community feedback. We had a lot of people saying when they played through the single player, if you remember the big TV station and that big TV room you had to fight through, well, we're bringing that signature TV station to the multiplayer. So you're going to be fighting in that television station, the surrounding area. Now, the center room is going to be the same, so you're going to have that epic giant room that you can fight in, which is perfect for headquarters when it pops up in there.
Yep.
But we redid the rest of the TV station. We added a bunch of alternating routes, a lot of multiple floors, so you have vantage points. You're going to have a lot of fighting from one floor, fighting guys on the bottom floor, ways to flank around. I mean, that TV room alone has seven ways in and out of it in this multiplayer map. So as you can imagine, it's a pretty big map, but a lot of it's interior, a lot of it's close quarters, but we also have that outside area.
Sure.
On the other hand, for the community who wanted wide open maps and that necessarily didn't want an interior map, we have Creek. And what Creek is it's just wide open country. There's a little village area, and then the rest is wide open, lots of foliage, lots of trees and bushes and brush. There's actually a huge ridge line that overlooks the entire thing and cuts it in half. So, like, a lot of times it's perfect for ghillie suits because there's just so much natural cover. So a lot of times you'll find snipers up on that ridge line shooting across, shooting into the village, into the farmland behind it. But for those close quarters fighters, you know, you're not going to be hopeless in that map. We have a cave system that cuts through the inside the ridgeline. So if you want to flank around through that cave system so you're not exposed to sniper fire, maybe stay in the village, fight inside. There's about 7 or 8 houses there that you can fight through. There's a farmland with a barn, an outhouse, some tractors, some camping area, dry creek bed. Huge map, great for wide open people, the people who wanted, you know, the larger map. Creek might actually be our largest map yet, even bigger in comparison to Overgrown.
Wow.
And it's a different kind of country than Overgrown. Overgrown was a little darker Russian country. This is more a brighter country that you might see somewhere else. It's a fantastic map.
Cool.
Also coming to the map pack is Chinatown. And what Chinatown is the Carentan remake. And for anybody who played, you know, the game of the year on Xbox 360 Call of Duty 2, you're going to remember Carentan. If you played Call of Duty 1, it had Carentan as well. And we got a lot of demand. It was one of the community's favorite maps from Call of Duty 2. So we brought it back and we gave it a complete overhaul into a Chinatown. So it's a downtown district of Chinatown. You have the lights, the neon signs, the rainy. Everything in Chinatown in this map is 100% original art assets. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see nothing else from the game. Everything is brand new.
Is it harder for the developers, for you guys, to build it from the ground up using new assets opposed to going kind of crawling through the old assets from the game and pulling it in, or is it more exciting to do that?
It's more exciting, because especially with this map, because we wanted to give something new. And while you can give something new with dealing with some assets in the game, it's a little bit harder because a lot of your assets in the game are so embedded in that universe of, like, all right, we're, you know, this is a Middle Eastern town or this is a Russian village. And we wanted to break away from that. And Chinatown was a perfect example of how we could do that. So it takes a lot more work, takes a lot more art-heavy stuff that typically you don't worry about so much in DLC because you're reusing a lot of the content that you already had in the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a bigger strain, but it's worth it to get what we're aiming for, and that was variety with this map pack. The Carentan map, a lot of people know it. For those who aren't familiar with Carentan, it's a lot of close quarters. It's a lot of street fighting, a lot of interior fighting. You're in a downtown district, so it's all city space. So you're going to be fighting in a lot of multi-floor buildings, a lot of streets, a lot of mounted machine guns. If you remember Carentan, it's a fantastic, fast, intense map, especially for team. It's one of my favorite team deathmatch maps ever. I mean, in I played it constantly, that in Burgundy and Call of Duty 2, and I've been playing it nonstop in Call of Duty 4 now that it's a Chinatown. So that's really good. Broadcast is the objective map in my mind.
Right.
And then the last one, rounding out the map pack for the four maps, is a map we call Kill House. And for anyone who's familiar with what a Kill House is a Kill House is essentially a training facility for military special ops. And it's what they use to train for their close quarters combats, terrorist hostage situations, things of that sort. So it takes place in an enclosed warehouse. It's a bit of a smaller map. It's maybe double the size of Shipment, but still on the scale of like a great free-for-all map or a great split-screen map. And that's what it was originally intended to be, was a smaller split-screen map. But we started building it out and branching it out. It's great for small team games or free-for-all, but it's an enclosed warehouse, lots of mock-ups, plywood mock-ups that you can go through for speed runs and things like that, a lot of targets to take out, a lot of cinder block buildings. It's essentially a training course. You might think of it as like a paintball course, but with bullets. So it's great. There's a lot of like soft cover, hard cover. It's a great place to bring out the light machine gun.
Now, when you say soft cover and hard cover, soft cover meaning you can get shot when you're standing on the other side.
Yeah, soft cover. So if you have a high ballistic weapon, it's going to shoot right through that plywood. Or if you, the varying degrees. I mean, there's some harder cover, but yeah. What I mean by hard and soft cover is, like, there's lots of plywood houses, so if a light machine gun's on the other side shooting through it, you're not going to have much luck hiding behind it.
You're going to be in trouble. Now, you guys have obviously, the game came out in November. It's done phenomenal on the Xbox 360. How did you decide on these four maps? Did you have, like, 10 or 15 on the whiteboard in the office and say, whittle it down to four? How did you arrive on these four?
Yeah, I mean, it was essentially that. We built out, we've been working on new maps since the game shipped. As soon as we were done developing the game and it went off the cert and it was being handled, we started working on new maps. And we had a lot of concept stuff together. We had a lot of early maps that we were working on, and we would play them daily. So anytime one of the level designers finished up on something that he thought was a major advancement in the map, he would add it to the build, and then we would all take it home that night and play on it and play through it at work that week and talk about what worked, what didn't work, what we thought was really cool. And then it really just started crafting like that. And eventually, we started getting our favorites and started having a lot of fun on this map, so we started putting more work into it. And then eventually it just comes to which ones are, leading the pack, and then we'll take those and we'll be like, all right, it's coming to deadline, The community is foaming at the mouth for a new map, so let's sit down, make some decisions. And these were the four that were like really leading the pack, and we're like, these are really fun. Plus, we wanted to focus on the ones that had the most community involvement. I mean, people wanted a throwback map, but we didn't want to just throw out, a copy and paste job of an old map. So that's what really inspired Chinatown. And Chinatown has really been in works as soon as the game ended, because a lot of us wanted to play Carentan again, and a lot of the community did so. And with all original artists, that took a lot. So that came into effect. We took the feedback that a lot of people wanted wide open maps. They wanted darker maps. Chinatown set at night. There's well lit areas. There's some darker areas. There's a cave. The cave that I spoke about in Creek will require some night vision as well, because if you're running through there without it, you're going to get ambushed.
You're going to get wiped out. Now you were talking about you've been working on playing these maps and taking them home and testing them. I have my own opinion, but what do you think makes a map fun? I mean, it's one of those things where, like, well, yeah, because I'm shooting and not dying a lot. But let's talk about that for a second. The philosophy of a map design. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, what goes into making a map fun? I mean, there's a lot of aspects. I don't think you can make one map tailored to a specific player. I think a good map has a variety of aspects to it that make it good for all players. So, like, I never snipe. I'm not a sniper. So when I play Creek, I can see, this is a sniper map. This would be really fun for snipers, but am I going to have fun? And then I play it, and a good level designer will put it in, so I will have fun, even though I'm more of a CQB, like to get up in the face of people. Mm-hmm. So you have to put a lot of variety in your map, and you can't make it so this is sniper paradise, and if you're not a sniper, you're not going to survive on this map. So you have to do that, and you have to have a lot of trademark. Every map needs its trademark personality. So you have to have, those sweet spots where you can hold up in a building and have, like, a perfect bird's eye view or a perfect vantage point on an HQ point or objective point. It's really all about, playing your maps to see, what works and what doesn't work. And it has to work for every game mode, too. I mean, if you make a map and it's only fun in Team Deathmatch, then you're going to get a lot of complaints from people who are trying to play Search and Destroy or Domination on it, and, they're not getting what they want from it. So it has to have those vantage points. Every map has to have those sweet vantage points where you can get up, and, there's this one spot that the elite players that find that if you're looking through this window, you can see in between this, like, tractor and this rock for a perfect point of when this guy gets down there to plant the bomb.
Right.
So it needs variety, it needs vantage points, and it needs, that identifying thing. Every map has that thing of when you see it, it just, it's that map. For, like, for the maps in the game already. Like Block has that statue in the middle and the Ferris wheel in the background, mm-hmm. and Crash has the crash helicopter in the middle and the three-story building. That everybody, you know, they when you say three-story building, everybody knows what you're talking about. And these maps definitely have that as well. I mean, Creek, you're going to call out, you know, when they're in the cave or when they're on the ridgeline. And in Broadcast, you're going to say TV room or sniper house, which is a house outside the that looks into the television station for snipe. So, I mean, everything has those identifying things. And another key thing that I think map makers put a lot of thought into and that makes a good map is having very identifiable locations in the map. Since you don't have names on things, you have to make things identifiable. So, you know, if something's a library, you got to make it look like a library. So when people are in the middle of a firefighter, they run in there and they run in and they have contact with an enemy, they can just yell out library before they die, and everybody knows where they're at. So, I mean, key maps need to have realistic locations that you can call out in a flash to easily communicate.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because that's nothing more frustrating than running around and you're like, I'm getting shot, and you're like, well, where are you, dude? And
yeah.
Most people don't have time to stop and look around and look up in the sky and say, oh, I'm near a large statue shaped like an elephant or whatever. You know, they need to have those trademark, those keystone elements that people can really, really focus on. So it sounds great. We've got those four maps coming out, and I'm sure that'll put you, that'll firmly ensconce you in the number one spot for live for quite some time, because you guys are, you know, you guys have been up there, as I said earlier, for quite some time, and this is really going to cement you up there. I want to talk about the Game of the Year edition. Explain that to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Game of the Year edition for Call of Duty 4 is going to be coming out at the same time as the maps. And essentially what that is, it's a re-release to celebrate, you know, all the success the game has been having and give a little back to the fans who haven't picked it up yet, I mean. So essentially the Game of the Year edition is a re-release of the game, and if you buy it, you'll get a token that allows you to download the map pack, the variety map pack, for new maps for free. So if you buy the Game of the Year edition, take it home, you'll have a token inside, you type that into the Xbox Live Marketplace, download the new maps down and play them for free.
So you'll be good to go. So it's and obviously you do, let me be clear, you don't have to buy the Game of the Year edition to get the maps. Those are going to be available, as you said earlier, via the Xbox Live Marketplace for 800 points, and as you said, for 3 weeks before any other platform gets them.
Yeah, that's correct. So I mean, you don't have to buy Game of the Year edition to get the games. Just get on the marketplace, go to new arrivals in the first week of April 3rd on, and just download them. They should be about 800 Microsoft points.
I'm going to put a link up to your gamer tag, as I always do when I have you on, because it's a lot of people, you know 402 was once at one time the most popular gamer tag on Xbox.com, and has I'm sure it'll be back soon. But are you, you know, so right after you guys next week, or you know, this coming week, you've got the maps releasing and of course the Game of the Year edition, and then in a couple weeks after that, in mid-April, we've got the Halo maps. Are you a little worried about the Halo maps maybe putting Halo 3 back on top?
I mean, it's always been a battle to keep Halo 3 at bay,
yeah.
And every night I wake up with my sheets wet and a cold sweat that the list is going to have Halo back on top. But you know, I'm welcoming it. I can't wait for the new maps in Halo. So
yeah,
I'm anxious to see how our map packs battle out.
It's the battle of the map packs now, because you guys have been going at it. But I mean, really, it doesn't, regardless of what happens, it's great for gamers because you know, Halo 3, great game, and then you know, COD 4 is just as is evident by the success, is a phenomenal title. All right, so there you go. Game of the Year edition for Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare is going to be in stores this week. And, of course, the brand new map pack with four new maps that Robert just told us about is going to be available on the marketplace as well. Before I let you go, Robert, you want to leave the audience with anything?
Yeah, I mean, we have a Play With Dev event coming up on Xbox Live. So a few weeks after the map packs come out, we're going to be on there playing with people on it. So keep a lookout on Xbox.com for that, because I'm going to be on there. The rest of the development team at Infinity Ward is going to be on here. We're bringing our best players out. So we're going to be playing the new map. So sign up for that. Get out there, because we want to play you guys on them.
And I'll make sure to put a link up to that. Robert Bowling, 402 from Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the community manager over there. Appreciate you coming on and taking the time. And congratulations on the Game of the Year edition and the new maps coming out this week. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. I'll see you then.
All right, I've avoided doing this for many years, but actually in my office joining me on the show right now is a Microsoft lawyer.
The Major has finally managed to concede defeat and realize that lawyers permeate all aspects of everyone's life.
So I have never asked a lawyer to be on the show, but Don and I have become good friends over the past few months, nay, years. And you're first of all, let's back up, and why don't you tell us, I just said you're a lawyer, but what do you do?
So first, I'll rescue your reputation. It's professional friends. Let's
sure, yeah, professional
that.
Friends.
Larry doesn't actually socialize with a lawyer outside of work.
No, not at all.
I am the lawyer for Microsoft Game Studios. What that means is if it's a game and it's on the shelves and it has the Microsoft Game Studios brand on it, I was the lawyer that did the work on it. There are now actually two of us. We brought a second one on board at Christmas to show the increased importance of games publishing to Microsoft's business. But up until Christmas, and so everything you've seen has been mine. Halo, Fable, Gears of War, Mass Effect.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you're like, okay, I've got to make sure that we get the music cleared for this, the legal clearance? But there's other pieces of the job as well, right?
It does mean that. It means that I liaise with the developers. It means that I liaise with any other relationship that we might have that requires to be written down on paper. I mean, my job is basically to take the game development business and take the things that it needs done and write them down on paper so that the guys who are involved in making the games don't have to worry about the paper themselves.
Got it. But you also, you know, in addition to that stuff, you're also looking at the scripts of the games and the concepts of the games, right?
Correct. I look through scripts. I look through concepts. I look through a lot of things that, you know, if I tell you, I have to kill you.
Right.
And then I see it on the other side. You know, for example, when after the game's launched, we will have a lot of marketing. I have some input with marketing. We also have a fair amount of, you know, community involvement with our games, as I'm sure the people listening to this are well aware.
Oh, yeah.
And so I liaise with us to make sure that the kind of things that my job with respect to the community is to make sure that we engage with the community in the way that the community is most happy with. At the same time as making sure that we don't do anything that we'll wish we'd not done later.
Which, I love having a lawyer on there, much lawyer speak. Well, that's the whole reason I wanted to get you in here, because it's the game content usage rules, which we published a couple months ago, right?
Actually, it was back, we brought them live for GameFest last summer.
Right.
August, I believe.
So it's almost a year ago.
It's almost a year.
But I wanted to get you in here because there's been a dust-up this week, and we'll talk about that in a second, on the internet, this crazy thing called the internet. But why don't you go over and explain what this is? Because no other companies have done this, right?
Nobody's done it in quite the same way we have. Blizzard has their own set of rules, which are a little bit different. And I, you know, speaking as somebody who wrote a set of these rules, because I wrote the ones for Microsoft,
right?
The Blizzard rules work differently and I think put some restrictions around people that are things we deliberately try to avoid.
Okay.
What this is basically, this is a recognition that the amount of creativity that Microsoft's people are able to bring to the game business is immense,
mm-hmm.
and also the amount of creativity that the community can bring to the properties and the products that we create is immense. And people use our products and our commodities to express themselves as well as to play through as a video game. I mean, the Red versus Blue guys and the other people who are making the Halo-based Machinima are just such a great example of that,
mm-hmm.
where they don't just go back. There are some people who go back and make what I'll just call, you know, Halo the Lost Chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other people who say, you know what, this is just a great toolkit for me to use to tell a story or to engage in an activity that I'd like to engage in.
Mm-hmm.
Given that amount of creativity and given that we created such a great toolkit for these people to be able to use, there was an amount of ambiguity from some people. Frankly, the people who wanted to do things the right way found it harder to do things than the ones who didn't want to do things the right way. And that's never a scenario that we like to have.
Okay.
Because what happened was, if people wanted to go off and make Machinima, then because technically what they're doing in law is the creation of what we call a derivative work, which is something based on something else.
Right.
By making one of those somethings based on something else, they technically needed our permission to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what that required was for people to stand up, come to Microsoft, and get individual permission each time for what they wanted to do.
And does that email, would that email, for instance, land on your desk?
So put aside the fact that about 100 of those emails would land on my desk in any given week.
Right.
There were 1,000 people out there who weren't sending those emails. Now, the people who weren't sending the emails were engaged in an activity that we wanted them to be engaged in, which was using our properties to promote their own creativity.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't bother asking. The people who did ask had to wait for me to get back to them.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Right, because you're busy doing other stuff, reviewing scripts and doing your day job.
Doing my day job.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense from their perspective because, one, why should they be punished for the fact that they tried to do the right thing?
Right.
And two, having tried to do the right thing, it shows that they're, frankly, the kind of people we want to promote.
Right.
So what we said is there's a way we can do this that will just preemptively let our fans and customers know what you want to do, you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing this because you love your art, if you're doing this because you're an artist and you have that drive to create and we've given you a toolkit to create with and you want to create, we should be promoting that. So let us set it up so you now know you don't even have to ask us. Now, taking it to the next step. If you say, you know what, my art isn't just great, I also want to monetize my art and make money from it. Well, at that point, we would say, you know, you're not just an artist, you're engaged in a commercial business. We would kind of like to know what you're doing, and that's broad brushstrokes for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is because if you've managed to make a business out of our toolkit, we'd kind of like to know and be able to participate with you.
Mm-hmm.
And two is, if you've decided to make a business out of our toolkit, truthfully, it might be a business we're about to go into ourselves.
Right.
A great example of that kind of thing is people who make t-shirts. Right, we have it from time to time in the past had Halo-themed t-shirts either for sale on BungieNet when they were still involved with us at that level,
mm-hmm.
or in general in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're making a fan-created t-shirt that you're selling on, for example, Cafe Press,
mm-hmm.
and then we suddenly go into the t-shirt business as a huge, overwhelming business that we decide we're going to do, we're probably going to accidentally crush you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to do that. And frankly, you may have great ideas for t-shirts that not only would we like to have out there, but we'd like to promote and take part in and help have those be a part of our stable of products we're actively disseminating to the public. So this gives us two things. It gives us, one, the ability to let our fans go and do the things they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the ability for people who want to make a business out of something to contact Microsoft and get involved in a commercial relationship with us where they might make much more than they were ever able to make before.
Got it. So what is I'll put a link up to the page on Xbox.com, but this covers a lot of the titles.
Correct.
A lot of the Xbox and the Games for Windows titles.
Correct. This covers any title for which Microsoft is in a position where we can unilaterally on our own say, go ahead and do what you want to do.
But
there are some titles where Microsoft doesn't own the IP rights.
Right.
Where the creation, that derivative works thing that I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The right to say, I will take a Halo character and make a red versus blue style video out of it. Okay, we can say that because we own Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that with respect to a game like Gears of War?
Right.
Well, the IP ownership in there is a little bit more complicated because there's a third-party developer involved. And so we don't necessarily have all the rights in situations like that.
So we can't do a blanket.
Correct.
Right, I see.
Then there's the second part, which is, although for a game like Forza, we own the game, that's not an issue, but we don't own Ferrari.
We don't own the cars in the game.
Correct.
I see.
And Microsoft is using those cars under license.
Right.
And so we are only able to give to our customers and our users and our fans the kind of rights that we have received.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any more rights than than we've contracted for the first time. Now, just sort of following up on that, I know our fans probably wish we could give them sometimes more rights than we're able to.
Right.
So the fan community knows, we're actually looking in our upcoming deals and in our upcoming licenses at expanding the rights. We used to obtain only the minimum amount of rights that we expected to use. Now we're starting to look also to say, what are the kinds of things our fans are going to wish we had procured for them?
So you're working on deals that are looking out and saying, what in this world of YouTube and blogs and Machinima, what can I do to help out that conversation?
Precisely.
I see.
How can Microsoft not just allow our fans to create? That was version one. Version
right.
two is how can we facilitate and how can we use our relationships? Because I know most people aren't going to be able to have a relationship with Ferrari.
Right.
We do have one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can we leverage that for our fans?
Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot more fans out there, fans of Ferrari that maybe can't afford them.
there
are different fans at every different level.
I drive a Civic, man. I'm right. given to understand Ferraris are nice.
Yeah, exactly. What does this, and again, I'll put a link to the content usage rules that you wrote it, right?
Yeah.
You wrote it. What are some of the things it doesn't cover? You talked about a few of these things, but what are some of the other things, just so we can go over those?
Sure. I mean, there are certain, what I want to call parameters around which we created these rules. And that was, again, keeping in mind that not only are our fans out there working and creating, but our fans don't want to have what they're creating diluted by people who are engaging in activities that probably they don't want to be associated with. Their product will run the risk of being confused with ours. So things like if you create something that's, you know, obscene or pornographic.
Yeah, obviously.
We don't want to have our product used for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you engage in something that's, you know, a full-blown, if you try to create a full-blown game that appears to be a complete knockoff of our game,
yeah,
that'll be a difficult thing for us to be involved with.
So when you see your inbox with an email from Don McGowan, not good.
Not usually good. Not ordinarily something that you want to receive.
So what are some of the other things that it also people can't do?
Well, it's not a question of can't do. It's a question of we don't know that we're in a position to be able to affirmatively and proactively say anything that you do in this space
is covered,
is automatically okay by us.
I see.
Okay. So one of the things with that is audio. Audio is incredibly complicated. I'm going to answer that part in a roundabout way, which is to say music and audio licensing, because it's an older business and was created before the internet, is incredibly territorial.
A lot of it was also created before broadcast.
Correct. And so the rights are sliced and diced and sold in very small packages.
Yeah.
They will be sold. One company will have the rights for Canada to sell a recorded piece of music. A different company will have the rights for Canada to sell the sheet music. A different company may have the rights to sell that sheet music in the United States. A different company may have the right to distribute the audio music. And a different company may have the rights to synchronize that audio with video in the way that you see it in a video game. So now you're talking about five games. Remember when I said earlier, sometimes we used to just take the minimum license that we needed for our products.
Right.
With respect to audio, I can tell you that's a very significant issue for us.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much in every game where Microsoft didn't make the audio itself, we have restrictions around what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt, you know what, with respect to audio, given that the usage rules are a preemptive thing where you don't even need to talk to us or worry, I'd best tell people you're going to have a problem with the audio.
Yeah, it's not us being difficult. It's just, as you indicated, that business is just really hairy.
And I'm given to understand that some of my colleagues who work for them are aggressive.
Right.
And so I wanted to make sure that our fans wouldn't think that they were okay from having read something on Microsoft's website.
Right.
And then wish that they had gone and asked some more questions.
Sure, understood.
So that's one. There's a related topic to that sort of thing, which is, one of the other things that we'd like to talk to you about if you're going to, or we thought we would like to talk to you about if you were going to try and do, and actually in the first iteration of the rules, we said you would have to come and talk to us. And then we got a lot of grief from people who should have given us grief and did give us grief and helped us come to a better solution,
mm-hmm.
was with respect to telling backstory.
Okay.
So I mentioned earlier the idea of Halo, the Lost Chapters.
Yep.
So the problem, one of the biggest problems in the entertainment industry is litigation.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very lawsuit-happy business. People in Hollywood sue each other for fun, I think. It's a sport. Everyone has a lawyer on retainer. Even people you would never expect to have a lawyer on retainer have several.
Now, I want you to back up a little bit, because a lot of people, you've worked with Hollywood, and you still do, and I'm aware of it. What are some of those examples? I'm going to sue you because...
My movie is currently being distributed by you. I was supposed to be being paid a net profit amount. I think that you're taking too much of a deduction. I'm suing you.
Got it.
By the way, I'm also working with you on your next movie, and we're both working on that movie together and happily right now.
Right. So it's just this constant thing that's happening.
It's a constant litigation risk where that's the normal litigation risk that you just run, and that's a way of doing business down there. Another one, and this is a very serious problem in Hollywood studios, is unsolicited scripts.
Okay.
Is a huge, or was for a long time, a huge source of litigation for Hollywood. And the reason it's a huge source of litigation is because people will find their story told in your story far more often than you'd suspect.
Okay.
They will say, you released that movie. It's like the unsolicited script that I sent to you. You ripped me off. I'm suing you. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot in Hollywood. And it's to the point now where Hollywood movie companies, movie studios, TV studios will not accept a script from the public. They insist that it come either from an agent or an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And before they'll even look at it, they say you have to sign a waiver that says you'll never sue us, even if we do rip it off.
I see.
And it's to the point where I actually heard a story recently, and I believe it, about the people wanting to construct a bike path through Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hollywood studios that backed onto where that bike path were going to be, I just unlocked an achievement for knowing about this bike path. The people who have their studios backing onto this bike path actually asked the city to move the bike path to a different location because they were afraid of people biking by and throwing their scripts over the wall and then suing.
You're
kidding.
Because
my script, I threw my script over the wall from the bike path and you stole the idea that was in it.
Okay.
That's how paranoid they are down there. That's one response to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We had a different response to it,
mm-hmm.
which was to say, you know what? If you're going to try and make backstory, you just can't do it.
Right.
So we got contacted pretty soon after these rules came up by, for example, the authors of Machinima for Dummies.
Sure.
As well as the Electronic Freedom Foundation and a couple of other organizations that said, you know what? You're unreasonably restricting people's creativity and more importantly, you've left us in the scenario you said you were going to try and get us out of because we don't know what's backstory anymore. We don't know what
you created gray area, Don McGowan.
And I'm a bad man.
Okay.
And not just for that reason, but I'm a bad man for that reason too. So what we did was we said, well, let's try it a different way then. Considering this is a proactive gift of permission from Microsoft to its customers and fans, why don't we say, if you're going to use this, you use this license, this permission to rely upon it to create backstory, then here is my quid pro quo for you. I too have an agenda, and that's if you create backstory or you try and work in the fictional universe that is established by my game property, then I automatically have permission to use anything you created. And the reason for that isn't because I plan to go to the internet and steal your ideas. The reason for that is because I need to know that if I happen to be independently creating something that is the same as yours, that I'm not going to be sued. Because if you then come to me and try and sue me and say, no, I made backstory, I made this iteration in the game universe and you stole it from me, then my response to you is, well, the condition of you having permission to make something in my universe was that I got to use your story. Now the thing you made was illegal.
I see.
And I wish I didn't have to do that. But frankly, you know, it is litigation is a real risk, especially in the United States.
And you said it was that the unsolicited script thing or the IP thing in Hollywood was pretty bad. Is it not anymore because they run out of ideas?
Well, you know, the writers...
Or they're moving bike paths.
The writers went on strike for a while, and so they moved their bike path into the street. And I think that definitely had something to do with it. But also... Hollywood, just their complete reluctance to accept anything unsolicited.
Sure.
And remember, I mean, this is the industry that says if you create something, if you try and write fan fiction, if you do anything like this, we will come after you.
Right.
That's their response to it. I don't know that I would agree or disagree with it if I was working in their space.
Sure.
I think their space is a little bit more circumscribed than ours. It's a little bit easier for them to work inside in that kind of a way.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know that I personally like it as a response, but sometimes everybody has to do things they don't like.
Now, you were also talking about audio earlier because this is a perfect example. I like to put up audio, game audio, that I like on my website, but I can only put up audio that has been approved and that we own. For all intents and purposes, like the Crackdown sound effect or things like that. I mean,
precisely.
that's a perfect example. I mean, people email me all the time and say, hey, Major, get the specific sound from a specific game. And I'll email the developer, and if they allow me to do it, then I'll do it. But I just can't whole hog take it and throw it up there.
Exactly. That's why the permission that Microsoft got from O'Donnell Salvatore, the composers of the Halo music, is such a big deal. Because we knew that the Halo music was going to be very important to our fans.
Sure.
And so that's why we wanted to make sure that we were able to give our fans the ability to work with that.
Right.
And, you know, many thanks to O'Donnell Salvatore and especially Marty O'Donnell, who was instrumental at getting that for us.
Now, I want to move on a little bit because you were in the news this week.
It turns out I was.
And I want to talk about that because that's one of the reasons you're in here, because it's around this exact subject. So why don't you explain what happened?
Well, what I thought was happening was we became aware this week from a few requests in from various media outlets that someone has created a mod for Unreal Tournament that allows you to play as the character of the Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, were we planning to shut this guy down? What that told me was, well, obviously we didn't do a good enough job the first time publicizing these usage rules, because had we done that, people would know no, we're not going to shut you down. In fact, we can't shut you down because we've already said you're okay to do this.
Right.
Competing platform notwithstanding, and I think, you know, there's a little – people, I think, believe that Microsoft and Sony hate each other, which isn't exactly true. We are fierce competitors, but I mean, I think we all have friends who work in the various platform companies. And
we respect them.
Business. Exactly. We respect them, even me, which is where I'm going now.
Yeah.
So after a few requests from PR, I said, well, you know, you're asking me this. It's obvious there's some issue. Would you like me to give you something to point to?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote something up on my own blog.
Mm-hmm. Which I'll point to.
Which Larry will do me the courtesy of pointing to, which addressed the issue. And then it made the, I would say, what I thought was slightly joking comment of, you know, it's great for us that people are doing this with our characters on our competitors' platform. I don't see people doing it with our competitors' products on our platform. Are there even any PlayStation games?
Right, because let's back up a little bit. So this is, somebody had created the Master Chief Unreal Tournament mod on the PS3.
Correct.
So that's, I just want to put
They ported it from the PC version to the PS3 version.
Okay.
Because the PS3 is extensible in different ways than the Xbox is extensible.
Sure.
So are there even any PlayStation games? Turns out to be an incredibly controversial thing to say. let's go back to, we all have friends across the business.
Right.
I have great friends who work at Sony.
Yep.
I love them dearly. I, in fact, even own a PlayStation 2 from back in the day.
And I've got a PlayStation 3 sitting just a few feet away from you.
It turns out that some people took this in a way a little bit differently than I meant it.
And I've been in that seat many times before, so I understand.
It's an unfortunate scenario, and while I wish they hadn't taken it that way, frankly, it's given me the opportunity to come on here and talk about something that I do really care a lot about, which is these game content usage rules. So I think at the end of the day, it's a net gain for us. And a net gain for our fans, incidentally.
So well done on making some headlines. It's always fun when the lawyer makes headlines, because I'm always afraid that I'm going to get a call from a lawyer when I say something, but I'm so glad when I got to call you.
I mean, here's the thing, man, and you know, certainly there was some creativity on the names that were used to describe me. I'm apparently the number one something that I never thought I would be,
right.
Although it's kind of interesting to me because in French that word means shower, and since I lived in French Canada for so long, I actually don't even respond to it the way you'd expect. but the fact is... when you're the lawyer and you say these things, you know, who's going to spank you?
Right.
I'm now, having said that, waiting to find out who it's
going to
be.
Who's going to spank you. So to put a fine point on it and to circle back around, apparently that mod was taken down for a while, but it had nothing to do. If anybody was going to take it down, it would come from you.
Exactly. I am the guy
right. Who
sends that notice.
You're the big bad Microsoft lawyer that everyone talks about.
Exactly. When people say Microsoft legal is evil, make no mistake. In the games world, they're talking about me.
Right.
And so I know the scope and breadth of my evil.
Right.
The scope and breadth of my evil did not extend to these individuals, nor frankly should it. Once we've decided the world will be allowed to do the kind of things we're describing, that includes the opportunity to do it and take it onto a competitor's platform. Now, I'm going to go back, incidentally, to, and this circles back on the Blizzard and World of Warcraft rules that I was talking about earlier.
Yep.
I made the crack about, you know, are there any PlayStation games? What I probably should have said in that context was, why are other companies not as willing to do this as Microsoft?
Yeah, because let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Because the answer to the question of why do people not do this with other companies' games on our platform is very simple. They're not allowed. Microsoft and Blizzard are the only companies that have actually given permission to the fan community to do the kind of things we're describing. If you took Kratos from God of War was a very popular one that was suggested to me along with the shower name. that I should consider for our platform. The fact is, the person who created that would run the risk of being sued by the owners of the IP around God of War.
Sure.
That's not a problem people have when they're dealing with a Microsoft-owned IP. The Blizzard rules, incidentally, have my one issue with them is just that they talk about you can't do anything that would change the rating of our game. And I'm not sure I know what that means because the ESRB rates things that are submitted to them, and unless you submitted something to the ESRB, I think that's Blizzard's way of trying to say you can't engage in porn, you can't engage in obscenity, you
sure.
can't do a lot of things. And if that's what they're trying to do, it's one way to certainly describe it. But other than us and Blizzard in that limited way, no one else has given permission to the fans to work in this way.
Why do you think that is? I mean, we've got a lot of people out there, a lot of publishers, a lot of other platforms. How come people haven't done this yet?
I believe that people in my line of work have more influence over some decisions than they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And the decisions around risks that businesses will not take or permissions that businesses will not engage in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy. I actually wrote a column on this once for, I believe it was TechNet,
mm-hmm.
on why legal always says no.
I'm going to put a link up to that if I can find
it. And the reason for that is because legal always says no, because if you ask us to give you a yes or no answer to a question that is actually a question of levels of risk,
right.
the only way we can avoid answering in a way that will have us subsequently be wrong is by saying no.
I see.
And so if you asked, for example, sit down before you create something like the game content usage rules, map out every conceivable scenario of ways people could do this. Well, you can hear me even saying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to do the thing I'm describing.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a lot of companies aren't willing to take the last step, and a lot of their lawyers aren't willing to say, you know what, you can accept the risk of taking the last step.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is a very forward-thinking company in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, having had the executives in charge of the Microsoft Game Studios business say, we would like to promote this as an activity for our fans,
mm-hmm.
And certainly Shane Kim and Ken Lobb and Phil Spencer and a bunch of other people were very instrumental in saying, this is the kind of thing we want our fans to be able to do. Don, go make it possible.
So that must have been a fun meeting that you had with them many months ago, and they're sitting there and they're like, and you're probably looking at them going, really? Okay. Or did you support it?
First of all, I absolutely supported it. Secondly, I'll be honest, my first reflex was to say, do you really know what you're proposing? Do you really know what you're asking for? Because if you know what you're asking for, okay, I will advise you on the kind of things you're looking at. And ironically, one of the kind of scenarios that I said, you know, are you aware that you're going to be looking at things like this, was what if somebody makes a Master Chief mod?
Right.
And they said, well, so long as they're not attempting to create a business out of being the Master Chief, well,
have
yeah,
fun.
That is the kind of thing that we expect our fans are going
to
do.
So did it surprise you that it took this long? Well, actually, it's interesting because that's one of the reasons I wanted to get you on, as you said earlier, is that people are unaware of this policy.
Correct.
And so all these news stories wouldn't have been written if people had just looked at that.
Well, the good thing as far as I'm concerned, and yes, you're right, the news stories I think wouldn't have been an issue and nobody
except for the shower comment.
The shower comment, right. Definitely. I don't think there would have been a reason for a news cycle over the first issue if people had been aware of this.
I wonder if even, because I read it, and I'm sure some people are going to listen to this and go read it. You know, it's always kind of scary. It's like, well, what about this? You know, in the back of your head, you're coming up with these scenarios. So I never know. Unfortunately, I am the ability to just email you, and a lot of people don't.
Well, and I mean, as a lawyer, I am, of course, paid by the word.
Right, but, exactly.
The fact is, like I was saying earlier, it's impossible for me to sit down and envisage in advance the kind of scenarios you're going to come up with. Or the kind of scenarios anybody will come up with. And frankly, good. That is the essence of creativity, that I can't think of what you did before you did it.
My head's going to explode.
But that said, I think it's also very important that, you know, it's more important to the fan community that we did it,
mm-hmm.
than it is that they're aware of it. And I'll tell you why. Because the fact that we did it means they don't have to know and be aware that we did it in order to do the things they want to do. This is, to me, this is one of the strengths of Microsoft, is that they were willing to step back and say, we are happy to let our fans do the things they want to do and just engage in the kind of creative activities they were going to engage in anyways, and never know that we said it was okay. In contrast, if you're going to engage in a business activity, you always, as a matter of course, should be reaching out to the people. And if you have any sort of legal help involved, and you're going to, because at some point you're going to need a contract with somebody and you're going to hire a lawyer, or you're going to incorporate, or you're going to do something that's going to make you cross paths with a lawyer, and that guy's going to look at you and say, why are you not getting permission from, for example, Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
And so then that person is going to say, okay, well, I now need to reach out to Microsoft and find out what it will take. But for the average fan, they shouldn't need to reach out to us in order to engage in a creative activity. And so we've made it possible for them not to.
And if you have any questions, this is not legal advice. Make sure you check with your lawyer.
Exactly. mandatory weasel words.
Exactly.
Except, you know, I haven't said anything that goes beyond what's up on that webpage.
Right, exactly.
Right? And that's important, is I can say this, and, you know, ordinarily, it's not just because Larry's got a great amount of good sense that he's never had a lawyer on this show before, but also because... Well, the fact is, it's almost impossible for an attorney for anybody, not just Microsoft, to stand up, talk about what they do for a living, and not be creating a series of situations that you and the public can rely upon.
Right.
Well, we've already decided we're going to do that.
I'm just reading this to see if I have any other questions, because it's really fascinating, and I'm actually kicking myself because I should have gotten you on earlier, but it's fine because what happened this week is a nice reason to get you on.
But then I would have never had the opportunity to be called a shower or other parts of the bathroom, bedroom, kitchen,
body part, and whatnot. So all right, well listen, Don, I appreciate you coming down and kind of I don't want to say clearing it up, but really explaining it, because it can be a little scary. So. To be clear, if they have any questions, they can go up to Xbox.com, and I'll put a link on the blog. And you want to tell us your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is my blog address. Is Don Quixote. Don Quixote, X-O-T-E.
Now, here comes... Yeah, can you hear the ass comments right now?
I, you know what? All I can say is I deliberately picked that background.
Okay. So you'll have to go check that out. What are you playing right now? And your gamer tag is?
My gamer tag is Don Quixote. I just broke the 10,000 gamer score mark last week playing Lost Odyssey. Given that my current game is Lost Odyssey, I'll break the 10,100 mark in about a month and a half. wow, that game is long.
Yeah.
I am waiting with bated breath for our fall lineup. And, of course, I'm given to understand that somebody's launching a game in about a month that I'll probably play.
That'd be GTA, yeah.
That would be Grand Theft Auto, and since it's not one of ours, I can just sit back and watch it all roll in.
Yeah, exactly. So you actually also, in addition to reviewing the scripts, then you also go and play all the games.
Yes.
Or most of them, I should say.
Here is the part where I become a very popular person among people. I, as a part of my job, play through all of our pre-release builds.
People are like, wow, that sounds cool. The good news is you get to do that. The bad news is... You're a lawyer.
The bad news is I have 9 years of post-secondary education and 11 years of being an attorney before I got to have this gig. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not an entry level job.
It is not ordinarily an entry level job. I have people often ask me what it takes to get this job.
Right.
The answer that I give them is you'll have to find a way to start your career as a bankruptcy litigator in Montreal, Canada.
What has
to do with anything, and I say I don't know, but I've had 100% success getting this job with that background.
But it ended up here.
It has been a strange trip to get me here. Let's just say I didn't always stay in bankruptcy, and some of the weird random stuff I've seen in my life would be a topic for a different show with a different host on a different distribution network.
Understood. Now the other thing we did this week, and I know you haven't really worked on it, but is the gamer score correction.
Correct.
So you were aware of that.
Of course.
So do you have any comments around that? Because I think I've said everything about that earlier in the show.
I think that's a great opportunity for Microsoft to show another way to our fans about how we care about their gaming experience.
Mm-hmm.
We know that our fans are not particularly excited about going into a gaming environment that they perceive as unfair.
Mm-hmm.
We are not particularly excited that a gaming environment came to exist that they perceive as unfair.
Okay.
We'd like to take steps to reinforce to our fans that we're dedicated to giving them the kind of gaming experience that they want from Xbox Live and that they want from picking up these games. Nobody has the right to come into our house and not play by our rules. If you show up at my house and I ask you to take your shoes off and you don't and they've got mud all over them, you know what? You don't get to walk on my carpet.
Right.
That's the rules. These guys decided they were going to walk on our carpets with muddy shoes. We decided they were going
to
go home.
That's end of story. There you go. So that's if you have any comments, send them over to Don Quixote. So, all right, listen, Don, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you coming in and explaining the game usage rules and talking about your recent bout of celebrity dumb on the internet.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate everybody who loves me, and even the people who this week told me they didn't.
So there were many. Can I have you on again maybe sometime in the future?
Absolutely.
When you revise the rules moving forward and come up with some new stuff?
Whenever your listeners can stand me, I'm happy to come.
There you go, E. Now you know all the story behind the Unreal Unreal mod.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we allow that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And Don went through all the things. And as we said in the interview, that if you have any questions, consult your own lawyer.
Yes.
Legal disclaimer, or as Don likes to call it, weasel words.
Well, as much as we like Don, he's our lawyer,
right? So yes, he's good people though. Send him a. He was actually really bummed out because there were some stories last week, and he got no messages over live.
Was he giving out his gamer tag?
I think it's, he said he said it was mentioned someplace, but I'll link to it. So send Don a message over live and call him the, well, I don't want to say that.
Now, if you're messaging a lawyer, I don't know that it's lolcat. What's the appropriate language to speak to a lawyer in?
No comment. All right, and of course, you heard all about the COD 4 maps, which are coming out this week. You have the details in front of you.
They are coming out April 3rd.
Right.
It's the Variety Map Pack, 4 maps for 800 points. Also coming out at the same time, if you haven't picked up Call of Duty 4 yet, and if you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting for, but coming out in stores in April is the Game of the Year Edition, which will include a free code to allow you to download these new maps from Marketplace.
That's what Robert just said in the interview.
Well, you said say everything.
I know. Well, okay.
So
those are coming out. And what's cool is that the Xbox 360 owners get exclusive access to those maps for something like 20 or 21 days before anybody else.
Right. Which is very cool.
Which is good for Xbox 360 owners. And then following that, which I don't have an interview about, are coming up in middle of the month are the Halo maps.
Right. 3 more Halo maps. The Legendary map pack. The previous.
Didn't we have a Legendary map pack last in Halo 2?
There was. No, there was Blastacular Killtacular.
That's right, okay.
So the first map pack was the Heroic map pack.
Yes.
That is now free.
That was flipped free last week, so yes. You can download those for free.
And if you haven't already done that, you need to go do that because those maps are getting integrated into the playlist.
Yes.
The Legendary map pack comes out in April.
Yes.
3 maps for 800 points.
Yeah.
They just last week on Bungie.net revealed Blackout, which is a next-gen remake of Lockout, and looks amazing.
We played a lot of Lockout, didn't we?
Yes. And I was talking to one of my friends at Bungie. We had lunch yesterday, and I can't wait to play this map. It sounds like so much fun.
But I was upset because the green room isn't there anymore. It's now like a red room.
It's next-gen. I don't know what that means.
I was going to say, that's why I'm looking at you with a puzzled look. I'm like, so?
It's a reimagining. Mm-hmm. So there's the reimagining of Sidewinder.
I love that map, you know.
I'm looking forward to it. We had some great battles on Sidewinder.
Yeah, we
back
did.
In the day. I mean, that's going back a ways, but we had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
There's Blackout, the Lockout reimaging, and then I don't remember the name of the third one. I'm spacing it at
the moment.
Well,
you got your computer in front of you. Why don't you look it up?
I had my computer in front of me.
I just closed it down. But you can go over to Bungie.net. I was actually on their podcast this week.
That's right. You were a guest.
I was a guest. I was actually, we recorded that. We must have recorded that. Like a month ago.
They podcast kind of irregularly. So it goes up every once in a while. They don't do a weekly schedule or anything.
So I went over there and sat, and it was always, it's fun. As usual, they don't let me inside there. I don't want to go on over.
It's a really nice office. You should go in and see it sometime.
Wait, you can't. Yeah, I'm basically sitting out in the parking lot with my engine running. good maps. And then, of course, what was released last week was the GTA trailer.
Yeah.
The new GTA trailer.
Trailer number 4 for GTA 4, I think.
It's exactly what it is.
I liked it.
You do?
I downloaded it off Marketplace, checked it out. Yes. I was really impressed. And now, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. When I watched that, the first thing that came to mind was it felt like a movie trailer.
Yep.
And for something like a Jet Li movie or a Jason Statham movie, something like that.
Right.
And it just, that's kind of the feel I got from it. It's like, hey, I like movies like this. This looks like fun.
Right.
I'm a little more excited about the game than I was.
So what you are excited about, aren't you?
I just looked behind me. You're...
I was pulling up Sidewinder.
Yeah, exactly. I love this game.
I was pulling up Sidewinder, so that's kind of having a little bit of fun here. That's all. That's all. No, I'm done. I'm done.
Now I want to go play Halo 1 LAN somewhere. Get a System Link game going.
We started before the interviews. We were talking about what games you're playing, but we never really finished it up. Do you want to talk about that now before we go into name the game?
Yeah. I'm playing Rock Band again. Yeah. The Boston Song Pack came out. 6 Boston songs.
Yeah.
Oh, they're... Now, I love Boston. Have for a long, long time. Those songs are hard.
Yes, they are.
They are on the upper half of the difficulty scale in the Rock Band songs.
So did I tell you what happened? Did you read the post about what happened to me on vacation? My first post back, the reentry post?
Yeah.
So for those of you that didn't read it, so when we came, and I hate doing this because I wanted to do all the cruise stuff at the end, but all right, so I'll deal with it now. So sorry, folks. Fast forward a couple minutes if you don't want to hear me talk about it. We came back on Sunday, and we spent Sunday in Fort Lauderdale. And then my wife and I left Monday to come back to Seattle. So Sunday, we're in Fort Lauderdale. She cashed in some points. We're staying at a nice hotel. And we went out to eat. So it's Easter. So we're eating Mexican food.
You're supposed to eat bunny.
Yeah, well, we ate maybe it was bunny. Well, we ate Mexican food, so we go to this Mexican place. We're sitting in this little divey place. It was free. It was fine. Across from the beach. And we're sitting there, and there's a couple of guys on stage goofing around. You know, one's got the guitar, and the other one's singing. And about two or three songs in, I realized they're just working their way down the GH3 set list. And my wife, so she's not really paying attention. So I said, I bet you the next song is going to be, I don't even remember what it was. She's like, how do you know that? I said, trust me. And sure enough, like a minute and a half later, bam.
Yep.
And then I did the same thing with the next song. She's like, how do you know this? I said, I explained to her, and she's like, oh, yeah. She says, I remember you tried to play that game. I said, yes, dear. I did try to play that game. So it's just so.
Thanks, honey.
It was so funny that I don't know if this guy, you know, in the first, because she had her back to these guys. And when I told her, she said, do they have a plastic guitar? I said, no, they don't. No, they don't. They've got the real guitar up there, and he was okay. It wasn't great.
Right. Wireless guitars in 2 weeks. Wireless Fenders.
Are you excited about
them? I'm excited.
Did you, yes. You pre-ordered, right?
Two of them.
Two of them.
Mm-hmm. I almost, while I was playing the Boston songs last night, I almost had another dog guitar incident.
Really?
They're shuffling their way around. They're, you know, going to get something to drink, something to eat, coming back, and right. They're always traipsing through the chords.
Okay. Well, that'll be a thing of the past in a few weeks.
That's right.
What else are you playing? So you're playing Rock Band. We talked about Halo. It feels like we've covered all this.
Yeah, Rock Band and Halo is what I'm playing.
I'm trying to get into back into Rainbow Six Vegas.
I want to come play Vegas with you.
Yeah.
I do. You need to message me like earlier in the day. By the time you message me, I'm already playing with a group of people. And last night I didn't even get your IM until, I don't know, an hour or
2 hours
later. Yeah. So you need to like not wait until like 9:30 to message me and say, want to play?
All right. So I'm telling you now, you want to play tonight? All right. So there we go. I got it out of the way. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Okay, yes. Yes. I will play Rainbow with you tonight.
Rainbow Six Vegas. I did the face mapping.
I loved the face mapping in the original. I face mapped myself with my Maui Jims on. It looked
That's
so
what
cool.
I did last year, remember? That was my idea. That was my idea. Well, I did it last year.
I'm sure it looked better on me. But whatever.
All right. So I've done that. So we got to see if it's going to show up in game, and it'll be cool. So we're going to play a little bit of Rainbow Six Vegas.
Are we playing co-op? Are we doing?
Why not?
What are we doing?
Let's try co-op.
Okay.
Let's try co-op. I have not finished the story yet.
Okay.
So I need to.
We need to start at the beginning because I haven't even put the disc in yet.
Oh, God. God. All right. All right. We are going to. I think we're going to stop now, and we're going to play Name the Game.
Woot.
Woot. So let's go ahead and play the name of the game. This is the name of the game for 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
2 weeks.
And I'm struggling to remember what it was.
Oh, you'll remember it once I play it. Here it is.
Is this legal?
CE, I told you know what that is.
I do know what that is.
That's
Bully.
Championship Edition.
Yes.
So is it legal? Yes, it is. So congratulations to Zippo Lighter. Remember Zippos?
I remember Zippos, and I was just about to say, wow, a gamer tag we can pronounce.
Yeah, well, it's not really, because it's got all the zeros and the sevens, and it's all leaded out. But
okay.
But anyway, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach headset, which is a phenomenal prize, and I need to get more of those in, actually.
Ooh, are you running low?
I've got a few more left, but I already emailed Turtle
Beach.
Hey,
Turtle Beach guys.
Yeah, they're gonna send us some more. So yeah, just Zippo lighters. I remember those.
Yeah, I remember Zippos.
Yeah, okay, that's all. I'm done with the Zippo thing now.
Okay.
All right, so we need to get a name of the game for this week, and E, I'll let you pick it out. So we're gonna.
Ooh.
Do you have one ready?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, here it is. All right, you know what that is. Send me an email, major@xbox.com. major@xbox.com. Name the game is in the subject, and then in the body is your gamer tag and what your guess is. E, your phone's going off again.
Yeah, it is.
It's distracting me. Stop it.
I got a text message.
I made the announcement at the beginning of the show. Please shut off all cell phones and pagers. Does anybody have a pager anymore?
But this is someone I want to talk to.
All right, well, not right now.
Okay.
So if you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. And then after we do that, I clear the deck, I roll in the band, and we present Xbox 101.
Xbox 101. This time with E. And Major Nelson, yeah.
Thank you, Funky. This week's Xbox 101, a nice little simple privacy setting that a lot of people don't realize that we added about, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago to Xbox Live. Go to the dashboard. Go into your profile.
You got to be signed in.
Got to be signed into the account you want to change.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the A button.
Yes.
Go to your profile. Say edit profile.
Right.
And it's going to pull up a whole bunch of things. Gamer tag, gamer picture, gamer zone. At the very bottom is privacy settings. Go into privacy settings. It's going to take just a second while it loads up the application that lets you set all these things.
All right.
And then you have a whole bunch of different choices for how you can configure basically how you want to be your privacy respected. Things like messaging, voice, text. And there is now, second from the top, a video setting. So this actually controls in games that use the Xbox Live Vision camera, like Uno or Burnout Paradise uses it, Bomberman Live. A lot of games use this to allow you to grab like screenshots of the players you're playing against, not just video.
Mm-hmm.
This setting controls just that. So you can actually say everyone, friends only, or blocked just for the Vision camera, independent of other kinds of messages.
There you go. Little safety tip for this week, Xbox 101. Thank you, E. Thank you to everyone that sent sent in suggestions for E, because he's always looking for suggestions for Xbox 101.
Yes.
So one thing that we didn't talk about at the beginning of the show, we got two things we're going to talk about before we get into the gadgets side of the show, is we got maintenance coming up.
And we were going to talk about that first, right?
Yeah, but we got completely sidetracked,
okay.
As usual.
Yeah. We do have maintenance coming up. It's going to be, unfortunately, the quirks of the calendar. It's on April 1st. And we are not intentionally doing maintenance on April 1st because we did not want to confuse anyone, but that's just the way the calendar worked out. But Tuesday, April 1st from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Pacific, Xbox Live is going to be offline for maintenance.
Yes.
This is just maintenance. Think of it as having the oil changed in your car. There's not going to be any shiny new features when we turn things back on. Nobody will notice any differences.
Wait a minute.
What?
You said we weren't going to do this again.
I was about to address that. All what right. I said was we were going to try really hard to never do this again.
All right.
And we are trying really hard, and we do expend a lot of effort from our developers, our testers, everybody trying to make sure that we don't need to do this. But sometimes you just have to. This is unfortunately one of those times.
And so that'll be on April 1st at early in the morning Pacific time, 0200 to 0500. It'll be 3 hours. I'll make a post on it Monday night, so after this airs, just to remind people.
Yeah. And just because I know the question will come up, a lot of people are going to ask, well, why do you do it then?
Why do you do it then, E?
That's when it impacts the least number of people.
When they look at the big, chart of the millions of people online, and this is the bottom of the bottom of the valley.
Right. And unfortunately, because we're a worldwide service, there's no good time for this.
Yeah, the sun's always up someplace.
Yeah, we try really hard to not have to do this, but if we do have to do it, we're going to impact as few people as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be easier for you if your team did it during the day.
Yeah, but I think people would like that.
But they know they have to come in at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they have to work, and that's the way it is. That's what they get paid for. So that is happening. That's the I'll make a post on that, and because a lot of people have asked me about that. Do you have anything else to add, E, before we go on to the next subject?
Once again, no new features. This is just maintenance.
Just maintenance. All right, the next area that I want to talk about is a blog post I made literally the moment I got back from my vacation. And that was the blog post was entitled Gamer Score Correction.
Yes.
Shall I read it?
You shall.
All right, so I wanted to follow up and let you know we are on about where we are on the post I made a few months ago on game save tampering. Today we took action on a few of these accounts we've identified as the most serious offenders who have violated the Xbox Live terms of use by tampering with their gamer score achievements. The steps take the form of the following: resetting the entire gamer score for an account to zero. The account will be unable to regain all previously obtained achievements in gamer score. However, this person can obtain new ones. And the account will be clearly labeled as a cheater on Xbox.com. So when you view their tag, so there you go. Where the Xbox Live service remains committed to keeping the service free of cheating in order to maintain a fair and level playing field for everyone. So that was made. I made that on I think it was Monday. Tuesday. And that's got 1,900 digs. So a lot of people really enjoyed that.
Yes.
So we went ahead and do that. And this is again, as I said, and I just read verbatim what I had said in the post. But this is really to follow up on what I post that I made. It was last October, the end of October, where I was telling people that about account sharing and game save tampering and don't do it. And there was reasons I said reasons why you shouldn't do it. And well, there you go. This is why I made that post.
Yep.
And so some people listened. Well done. Some people did not. And this is what happens.
I was really pleased by the reaction, reading the comments both on your blog site and Joystick and a bunch of other places. The vast majority of people were really glad to see us do this.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they liked it.
So there you go. There's an FAQ on Xbox.com that I can link off to. But those are the only Qs for the only A's that we're answering. If that makes any sense. So I will tell you, there's a funny little trivia piece. I don't know if you know this. You know, I've been working on this project for quite some time. So we had to localize it, because when you come out with a message, you have to localize it for all the different regions that Xbox is in.
Yep.
And apparently there's no, for what we wanted to do, there's no term for cheater in Japanese.
Really?
Yeah. So in Japanese, it's called unfair gamer.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's a little tidbit for you. So that's GamerScore. That's the GamerScore correction post that you can go ahead and take a look at if you want to. Alrighty, we're kind of coming towards the end of the show here, and it's almost time to talk about your favorite section, gadgets, because that's kind of what we do. We talk about gadgets and cool stuff.
It's a good week for shiny gadgets.
It is. What do you got?
So we've talked before about the Dash GPS.
Yes.
This is the GPS device for your car that actually has a cell phone radio and Wi-Fi capability.
I don't get that, but go ahead.
Well, the whole idea is two-way traffic.
Right.
So that you're on a road and your GPS sees that, hey, it normally takes 10 minutes to go from A to B, and today it took 20. So it's going to upload that in real time so other people with Dash GPSs get the benefit of that information.
Do I get to punch in and say, hey, I'm sitting in traffic right now?
No.
Or is it just, it just collects the data?
Okay. It just tracks how long it takes you to get from intersection to intersection or point to point.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because it's online, you can do cool things like not only where's the nearest movie theater, but it can pull down what movies are playing right now.
That's convenient.
So you can decide which one to go to. Or you can search for, you know, restaurants, and it actually goes up to the web and does a real search, as opposed to just having a static database.
I'm going to have to take a look at this when you get it.
So, yeah, mine, they dropped the price $200 and announced that Amazon's carrying them.
Right.
Mine arrives Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm pretty jazzed about that.
Good. What else you got?
I'm still doing the camera search thing.
For a pocket camera.
Yeah. The next gen Canon and what I have now. So mine's like 7 megapixel 4X zoom with image stabilization, and they're up to like 10 megapixel 5X zoom with IS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at that, and it's awfully tempting, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
You know what? Really?
I think I am going to buy another Roomba tonight, though. I think I'm going by Costco. I need a Roomba upstairs.
Okay.
Because it's a little odd in that there's the downstairs, which has, you know, kind of minimal dog hair floating around, and then there's the upstairs that's
more dog hair.
Tumbleweeds. Yeah.
No, wait a minute. You're going to play Rainbow Six with me tonight. You're not going to Costco.
Right. Okay, I'll figure out some other time to go to Costco.
So why can't you send one Roomba down and get the other Roomba?
That would be awesome. Oh, man. They still have not announced a new date for the remote viewing one, the one with the webcam and the speakers and the microphone. I want that.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I've noticed when I've been coming home lately that, like, not only dog toys, but other things in the house are moving around when I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what they're up to.
You know what I'm looking for? You know, I may just get one of those, but I used to have a webcam in my house. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. You used to point it out at the street.
Right, just so I could see what the weather was.
Stalk the neighbors.
Right, stalk the neighbors and keep an eye on. Well, the reason I did is because the neighbor's dog was coming over to my house and leaving packages for me on the front lawn.
Nice.
So I wanted to, like, figure out whose dog it was and so forth. The problem is that the software I used to use was this company called, I think it was iNetCam. And I bought, it was like $60. And it was great because it had a little web server that it would run on the computer. And I just plugged a Logitech camera into it. And it worked great. Problem is that company went out of business. They don't make it anymore. And I can't seem to find a good, easy solution. There's a couple out there like coffee cup or
good,
something.
Good, easy solution for which part? Web server part?
Yeah. Something that basically what I wanted to do is I want to plug a webcam in, this Logitech camera, into my PC running Windows or XP or something.
Well, what I think you've been passed by.
Right.
Because
I think you're right.
I've looked at similar bits of technology when I was looking for a different solution to mess with my dogs.
Right.
And what I was finding was most of the cameras
have now built-in web servers internal to the camera.
Yeah.
So I was looking at, I think they were D-Links, and they were nice little cameras with tilt and swivel and web servers actually internal to the camera.
Yeah, they always had this Java thing you had to download, and it was a drag. It's like viewer. And,
And you're just wanting it to like put PNGs.
Or yeah, or JPEGs something like that. Exactly. Gotcha. So that's, I'm looking for something. Anyway, so but you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. Is I was bypassed, and all of a sudden they just stuffed a web server in these cameras. Then the camera that I really want is this Axis. Have you seen it?
No.
It's like, God, the thing is like $1,800, and I can't spend that much money on a camera.
Geez.
But it's got zoom, and it's a beautiful piece of technology.
Yeah, there's not that much going on at your house during the day.
Yeah, I don't need.
Not $1,800 worth.
So the other gadgets, I don't know what other gadgets I have. I think that's it. Yeah, that's all I got.
I could go for a gadget that would wash my dogs. They need baths. Got any of those?
Sadly.
Anyone have a teenager that wants to wash some dogs?
Sadly, yeah. Contact E, send him a message over live. E is his gamer tag.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up now because it's time to go. E, we're gonna go. Maybe we'll go to Costco, but we're gonna go play Rainbow Six tonight. Thank you for everything. Thanks for stopping by. Thank you for filling in while I was gone.
It was a blast. Hopefully everyone liked it.
I think they did. They had a great time, and it was it's good. A lot of people asked me, although some people were confused because in their RSS readers it would always say posted, you know, whatever you title your post, posted by, and then it say Major Nelson. And you're the first person that's ever posted other than me, so they're like, why does it say E? It's broken. I'm like, no, actually, that's his name and gamer tag. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the way that goes. All right, well, thank you to my friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secure and assured hosting environment. Thank you to CashFly for caching my show, which allows it to be delivered to you. And E, you have anything else to say?
I don't think I do.
I would like to say thank you to everybody down, all the wonderful people that I met on the cruise and down on the islands. I met some few people. I didn't meet any fans of the show, but that's all right.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure.
The rate at which we're running into people is amazing.
Yeah, so I don't know if I've got any. So I didn't run into anybody in Puerto Rico. I did run into a couple of people in St. Thomas that I think, well, it doesn't matter. But I want to thank everybody. That it was great to meet some folks there. And hopefully I'll be headed to the East Coast in the next few weeks or few months for some events, and then I'll do that. So, all right, I'm on my way out. This is Larry Herbeck's Box Live's Major Nelson here along with E, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, and send feedback or file a complaint, because if you don't, you've seen what happens.
Oh, yeah, and it's bad.
It's bad. So, and I will talk to you soon. After show.
You know what I don't like about coming into your office?
What?
Every time I come in here, what do I wind up playing with?
All the toys that I have over there.
No, your Castle Crasher.
Right.
I don't have a Castle Crasher. Why do you have a Castle Crasher and I don't?
I can't talk about it.
I want a Castle Crasher of my own.
I can't talk about
it. This guy is really freaking... I would buy these things. These are really freaking cool. I want them in my office.
Thank you, E.
Castle Crasher guys. I don't... I'm trying to remember their name. The...
The Collective, the Behemoth,
the
something
Behemoth,
like that?
The Behemoth, Behemoth, yes.
Behemoth, guys, if you're listening, can I have some Castle Crashers?
I've had them
please?
On the show, so. That wasn't me talking about them, by the way, because they asked me not to talk about them.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh. Oops. Yeah, that was totally me. Major had nothing to do with it. He didn't know I was going to go there. So, funny riff on the meeting people. I think I told you this story, but
yes.
I'll tell it the sanitized version of this, okay. Just because it just cracks me up.
All right.
Started dating a girl recently.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice girl.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she was talking to one of her brothers, who's a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know she was dating anybody.
Right.
They were just chatting, and he started talking to her about this podcast that he listens to. It's from this guy named Major Nelson,
hey.
And he's got this co-host E on it.
Oh,
and she just apparently busted up in giggles. And
I don't want to
stop laughing.
I don't want to know her name or last names. But what's his name? Do you know?
She's got multiple brothers, and I'm trying to remember which one's which.
All right,
I haven't actually met them, so keeping them all straight is tough.
All right, so never mind. So
just completely random. This guy's like, oh yeah, Major Nelson and E, and she busts up laughing, and then has to explain why she's laughing so hard. What are the chances of that?
It's crazy.
So if you're listening, dude, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. And it's E.
Yeah.
I'm Major Nelson. That's E.
He is not dating your sister.
I'm not dating your sister.
Which is good because you're married.
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Yes, I am. So are you excited for Indiana Jones?
I am. I didn't realize how quickly that's coming out.
I didn't either. I saw it in Entertainment Weekly, I guess like last week or the week before, and I was like, it's coming out soon.
So what was really random, the way I realized how quickly it's coming out, last weekend I'm driving to the movie theaters with my son.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to catch Jumper, which is, I think, about to end its run. But
right.
We both kind of wanted to see it, hadn't seen it. And on the way, we were talking about what other movies are coming out we want to see together. We were talking about Indiana Jones.
Has he seen all the originals?
He's seen all the originals.
Okay.
I make sure he's seen all the classics.
Good.
Absolutely. And he mentioned that as one of the ones he wants to see. And I was like, oh, I think that's coming out this fall. Not really sure, though.
End of May.
We go to see Jumper. One of the previews is Indiana Jones. And I think it's May 23rd, Memorial Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
And we look at each other and we're like, May? Wow.
Wait a minute. So you've seen... I haven't even watched any of the stuff on the web or anything. What's the trailer look like?
It was pretty cool.
Is it pure indie? It's
total... Yeah, total indie. It's got the classic music. And lots of, you know, indie using the whip, and it's great.
Well, the article in the Entertainment Weekly, I think is what it was just talking about how those movies, the reason they were so good is because it was all the good stuff. It was all the action and,
right.
You know, all the crazy stuff. And the funny scene was the scene in the first one where the guy's coming at him with the knives.
Right.
And he pulls his gun
pulls
out.
Pulls the gun out. And, yeah.
That was his idea. He had the flu or dysentery that day, and he was really sick. And he told Steven Spielberg, he's like, why can't we just shoot him? And it made it in.
It turned out to be one of the funnier scenes. You know, I got to throw this out there.
Yes.
It, show's almost over. We're doing the after show?
Yes, we are.
I just now am getting comfortable with this yet another mic and screen configuration.
Well, I'm trying to, yeah, okay.
So for anyone who's wondering, wow, the show sounds a little different this week. Yes, Major has whipped out yet another mic.
Another configuration.
Yeah, that I have to learn to use totally differently. And for the first, you know, hour or whatever, it's been kind of strange. I think I now have the hang of it. Now that we're, you know, halfway through the after show and about done.
98% done with the show. Well, it's I'm recording on it. I'm just trying something a little different. I'm trying to find the sweet spot. And I'm such a audio
bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I always listen to it and listen to it and listen to it and listen. How can I make E sound better? Maybe, you know what? Maybe this is all futile. Maybe it's not possible.
It's not possible to make E sound.
Maybe
that's
it's
entirely
possible. But you know what? Maybe that's it.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
I don't want to admit defeat.
Yeah. I understand that. I appreciate it. But it's just, I'm not used to this. I haven't done this since like high school.
Right.
So every time, like the weird thing for me, it's not the microphone. It's the mic screen and the fact that it's like in my peripheral vision.
Right, right.
That weirds me out.
You know what I've been enjoying a lot lately?
Not being here at work?
No, besides the Caribbean.
Okay.
Twitter.
Oh.
You know why I like Twitter?
You're not going to get started on the whole My Little Pony thing, are you?
I don't know what that is. I'm not interested.
Okay, good.
No, this is just I like Twittering because I was having a problem last week, or I had a question on, I have a MacBook, and I'm playing around with it, I'm getting configured, something wasn't working right, the locations, and I posted about it, and I had like 8 people trying to help me out. It was like real-time Twitter in this weird broadcast mode, and I just find that community so great.
So I refuse to use Twitter.
Right.
But I catch some people's updates on Facebook.
Yes.
Because they've got...
They've got it connected.
Yeah. So every time they Twitter, it shows us their Facebook status.
Yes.
And I'd like to just say, Trixie, Diva, Drea, drop the pony shtick.
I don't know what that means, and let's just leave it at that, because I don't want to call any attention to it.
That's right.
All
right.
So anyway, I've just been really enjoying Twitter, and it's almost like I just want to do Twitter now. I don't even want to blog.
I figure my Facebook status is enough, and I don't update that, that often.
Right.
Maybe once a day, a couple times a week, something like that. I don't need to do the minute by minute. The classic example, I was out with a couple of friends earlier this week, and we're getting some dinner and some beers and watching March Madness. And one of the guys who was there was talking about this guy who knows who Twitter's, like, logging in now, rebooting my PC, going to get a drink. It's like, no.
I don't do that. I'll tell you how I do Twitter is when I want to, like, sometimes I'll Twitter when there's something interesting on Marketplace, when I don't want to make a whole post.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, shouldn't I just make a post about it? I start thinking about it.
Oh, okay. So finish. I just remembered something we got to talk about.
Go ahead.
The new Jones Soda announcement.
Oh,
that was like the best link in the history of the world.
So explain it.
So for people who don't know, Jones Soda is a Seattle company that does, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of high-end soda. And
boutique soft drinks.
There you go. Boutique soft drinks. Perfect. And they're known for doing kind of unusual things. Like at Thanksgiving, they actually have a turkey and gravy.
Have you ever had that?
I have not.
I'm not interested. I'm not interested.
Next Thanksgiving, I think I may have to, but...
Yeah, to wash down the deep-fried Twinkies?
Yes. But they've announced a new soda that's coming out that I'm going to have to buy cases of it and like for my PAX party and just store it.
And what's the difference of this soda?
The labels are Lolcats.
Really?
They actually have a partnership with IcanHasCheeseburger.com.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to take like some of the best Lolcats and use them as labels for their
soda
bottles.
They usually have an image on the front of each of their bottles.
Right.
So they can use the image and then, of course, the words.
And
they do
all kinds of specialty images with like local things. And I think you can even buy like custom images.
Right.
Like on custom runs
of
soda.
You can put them on your own. So you can have like a little face on E or anything.
Right.
Else.
So for like for an event, like a retirement party or a wedding, or you could get whatever.
Bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah.
Right. But they're using Lolcats, and that's just like the greatest idea in the history of the world.
Speaking of that, so the last show we talked about KP, who works with us.
Yes.
And he doesn't.
And KP can has rage.
He doesn't like Lolcats.
No, that's not strong enough. KP can't stand Lolcats.
So
when I IM him in lol speak, usually he will not talk to me the rest of the day. That's just like the end of it.
We talked about it on the last show, and then I put a link to send him a message.
Uh-huh. And he got a lot of messages.
Because I basically posted the show and then left town. It was great.
Uh-huh. And he sent me screenshots of some of them, and like just the first morning, he already had, I don't know, 30 or 40.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how many he got. It might have been 100.
So his gamer tag is KP, just right next K and the P next to each other.
Uh-huh.
Send him a lolcat and just tell him E sent you.
And just, hey, Icon has friend requests, something like that.
Right. He likes that.
He loves it.
He loves it. He loves it. So, all right, we're done with this show, E. We're going to go play some Rainbow Six. I will see you guys next week. Ready?
Yeah.